So in Behar and Bechukosai, there's a lot to talk about. If you look recently on YU Torah from last year, everyone's speaking about Shemitah. But now, if you can speak about Shemitah, you know, it's kind of outdated a little bit. We'll speak about it again in a couple of years. So instead, I wanted to focus toward the end of the Parsha, not the exact end of the Parsha, but focus on the Tochacha. The series of psukim that seem to be predictions, curses, predictions about, you know, the doom and gloom of Bnei Yisrael for all their sins. And we famously have two different accounts of the Tochacha, one here locally in Parshas Bechukosai, and the second appears in Parshas Kisavo in Sefer Dvarim. So an obvious question that you want to... We're not going to be speaking about the Aliyahs and... Again, the tone that you're going to read the psukim in and the connotation that represents. And we're also a disclaimer, we're not going pasuk by pasuk trying to understand what exactly each pasuk means, because we could sit here all day and I don't have the time to prepare for something like that. And the disclaimer is I did not see all the mefarshim on all the different psukim. Again, it's a lot of psukim between the two parshios. The main question that we're going to be addressed is, number one, why are there two? Why are there two separate tochachas? Why is there one appear in Parshas Bechukosai and one appear in Parshas Kisavo? What's the relationship between them? And the second question we're going to address is, assuming that there, you know, there's a two for a reason, what is Parshas Bechukosai about? And what is Parshas Kisavo about? Again, we're going to be doing this in broad strokes. We're going to reference some psukim, but we're definitely not doing pasuk by pasuk. We could be sitting here all day. Maybe Shavuos night, you know, I hear they have 5-hour shiurim in certain shuls, so they could go through the Tochacha. I'm sure that will be something which keeps everyone up all night. But I want to be just, again, focus on this idea of what exactly is it talking about. So for the beginning, most part of the shiur, we're going to be... presenting the approach of the Ramban, who is, you know, gets the first word in, so to speak. And then we're going to, express two other ideas, the Ravid, or might be the view of the Ravid as we'll discuss, and also the approach of the Abarbanel. So just as a sort of introduction, again, we see the Tochacha in source number one, page one. There's a lot of Makoros today. Sorry for all the trees. You don't listen to me, you don't do the mitzvos. There's a big discussion, which mitzvos you're not going to do. Vim bichukosai tim asu, you're going to, you know, reject my laws. Vim es mishmatai tigal nafshchem, levilti esos es kol mitzvos la'afrachem. As we see, you're not going to listen to the mitzvos. So too, I'm going to do with you, and we're going to start listing all of these punishments. You think of the punishment, you name it, it's there. We're going to see throughout Sefer Vayikra. So again, what is the nature of Parshas Bechukosai versus Kisavo? What are they speaking about? And to get to the point, the approach of the Ramban in source number two, you look in the third paragraph, the bold. V'dav havin ki ha'alos ha'ila yirmezu legalos rishon. Parshas Bechukosai for the Ramban is all about the first Beis HaMikdash, the first Galus. We are going to be destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, we're going to go to Bavel, we are going to be there for 70 years, Galus Bavel, and we will come back to Eretz Yisrael. So all of the Tochacha in Parshas Bechukosai is referencing the Galus Bayis Rishon and the Geula Mimenu. Ki bebayis rishon hayu kol divrei habris hazos hagalus v'hageula mimenu. All the words of this covenant between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael are referring to the exile from Yisrael during the times of the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, the hageula mimenu, and the redemption. So what we're going to do over the next couple of minutes is just, we're going to go through the Ramban's proofs. Again, we are not going pasuk by pasuk. There is so much ink spilled on this. But just really reading through the Ramban and seeing the sources that he quotes. So the way, again, just the structure, I broke up the different parts of the Ramban to try and do it structurally to be able to do it in a more nuanced, sophisticated type of way. So we're going to be jumping back between Rambans and sources that he's quoting and the psukim that he's working off of. So first, the Ramban is going to tell you, again, the main principle so far. In Parshas Bechukosai, we are speaking about the first Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, Golos Bavel, and being redeemed. And in Parshas Kisavo, we are going to speak about, guess, the second Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, and the future Geula HaAsita, the Golos that we are still in, and the Geula that we're going to be speaking about. That is the Ramban's thesis. Now, the rest is, again, it's important to understand the bigger point. but to also show that the Ramban is really proving this from the Psukim. And by the end of it, the Ramban is so convinced by his arguments that he says, greater than all of the visions of Daniel that are going to foretell the future redemption, these Psukim, the sources of the Tochacha, are a great proof and promise that we are going to be redeemed in the future, that there's going to be a future Geula. So if you look, we're going to continue, again, we're going to jump back and forth between the Rambans and the sources. So let's start with source number 4, and we'll go back to the Psukim in source number 3 in a second. So the Ramban continues. Shekein tira betochachos. Shenemar v'chukosai temasu v'smishmati tegal nafshechem v'amar lehafrechem esbriti. And right away, if you look in Pasuk Lamin, now we're going back and forth, we're going to source 3, top of the page of page 2. V'shmati esbamosechem v'chrati eschamaneichem. So I'm going to destroy your places of worship. So it's clearly a reference to Avodah Zarah. So the Ramban continues in source number 4. Ki hayu ovdei, line 2. Ki hayu ovdei avodos kachavim va'osim kol aros. Because what happened in the end of Bayis Rishon, the Jews committed Avodah Zarah. They did idol worship. And therefore, in the Pasuk Lamed, we are going to describe that Hashem is going to destroy their places of worship. Because the Jews did Avodah Zarah during Bayis Rishon, and therefore it is clearly referencing Bayis Rishon. And additionally, back to the Ramban in source number 4. End of the second line. V'hu she'amar v'hashimosi es mikdashechem v'lo ariach bereach nichochem, which is in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, that I'm going to, again, lay desolate your mikdash, and I'm not going to smell the karbanos. There will no longer be a pleasant aroma to me. So the Ramban says, what's that referring to? Yasra behem lesalik behem mikdasho v'kiba karbanos yu l'ratzon b'mikdashahu. This was a warning to Bnei Yisrael. You're going to sin in the future. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to take away your base on mikdash. It's going to no longer exist. And even if you choose to offer karbanos, they're not going to be accepted. So this is clearly a reference to the gullus of the first Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is warning them, you're going to sin, you're going to do Avodah Zarah, say goodbye to the Beis HaMikdash, no more Beis HaMikdash, and even if you choose to offer karbanos, it's not going to help you. And the Ramban continues, va'onchim aleihem cherev v'chaya rav v'dever v'rav. So all these different, you know, so you're going to get killed by the sword, the wild animals, the pestilence, and the rav, the golos basof, which are referenced in the Pesukim in Lamed through Lamed Dalet. That's all going to take place after the destruction, because during the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Ki kol zeh hayasham kasher ba befeirish b'sefer Yirmiyah. That we see this happen in Sefer Yirmiyah. You look at source number 5. Hinei hasol alos bo v'ir lelachta v'ir nitna b'yad hakazdim hanucham amalea nei hacherev v'harav v'hadever sword, famine, pestilence. We're going to go to exile to Golos v'asher dibarta hayev in charoeh. So everything that's being described in this psukim in Bechukosai, all of the punishments, the sword, the famine, the exile, that is all happening during the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And then finally, V'amar Begalus, our pasuk says in Pasuk Lamed Dalet, that Az Tirtza Es Shabsoseha, the Shabsos will be appeased. Kol Yemei HaShabbat Tishbos Is Asher Lo Shafsa. When Eretz Yisrael is desolate, when you guys leave and go to Bavel, so the land is going to be desolate. And you know what's going to happen during that time? The land, Eretz Yisrael, will get back the Shemitos that you skipped. We have a commandment to Shemitah, to rest. I just referenced it before, also in this week's Parsha. Mayin Shemitah Yitzhar Sinai, famous in the beginning of the Parsha, but of course quoted by Rashi. So we have a mitzvah of Shemitah, and they didn't do Shemitah. And if you look at Rashi in source number 7, we're not going to do it right now, he'll give you all the math to show you that the Shemitahs and Yovels that we missed over the course of the year, all during the Bayis Rishon, that we didn't take care of Shemitah the way we were supposed to, all equal up to the number 70. Why 70? That's going to correspond to the amount of years of the exile, because the years in exile in Bavel are going to be for the years that we did not take care of our obligations of Shemitah. and therefore the land is going to rest. Eretz Yisrael is going to rest. It's going to get its time back. It was supposed to rest for 70 years during Bayis Rishon, where they did not do Shemitah, and therefore it's going to rest for 70 years when the Jews have to leave during the exile after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And if you look, keep going in the Ramban, Shayushanos Hagolos Keshanim Asher Batlu Hashmitos, that the years of the exile are going to, you know, equal the amount of years that they mishmita, v'chein amra kasav begolos ahu, and that's actually what happens in the exile. If we look at the pasuk in Divrei Yamim, which is in source number 6, pasuk Chaf Aleph, lemalos dvar Hashem befirim yo, ad ratza ha'aretz esaf sosea, kol yimei hashama shavasa lemalos shivim shana. That the exile was 70 years so that the land can get back its years that it was stolen, right? Shemitah was stolen from it over the course of Bayis Rishon, that the Jews did not take care of their obligation towards Shemitah. Therefore, the exile was for 70 years in Bavel to correspond to that. So we see, again, both
in... Do
we
know that Shemitah was kept in the second Beit HaMikdash?
Do we know? It's not so clear. We have to figure out why the second Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. We're going to see what exactly why the second Beis HaMikdash is destroyed is definitely a question which we're going to be addressing in a second. But either way, right until this point, we've seen that Bnei Yisrael does a Vodah Zarah that in these psukim, the way that it's described in Bayis Rishon. And number two, their Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, their karbanos are not going to be offered. And they're going to get all these punishments, which is clear from Yirmiyahu, ends up happening. And it's going to be a payback for the Shemitah that's not fulfilled, which we also see in Bayis Rishon. All this indicates to the Ramban that this is, Parshas Bechukosai is speaking about the first Gullus, the Gullus from Bayis Rishon. So that's the first section of the Ramban. And then the Ramban continues that these psukim also are going to describe the Geula from Gullus Bavel. Our first redemption from our first Gullus is going to also be described in this pasuk. So if you look at the Ramban, we're going to page number 3, in source number 9. Vistakel ol b'inyan ha-ge'ula mimenu. If you look at the ge'ula in this parsha, in Parshas Bechukosai, in contrast to Kisavo, she'eno mavtiach rak she'yiskor bris avos. That if you look in Pasuk Mem Beis, v'zacharti esbri, now we're going to source number 8, v'zacharti esbrisi Yaakov, v'af esbrisi Yitzchak, v'af esbrisi Avram eskor, v'aretz eskor. I'm going to remember the bris that I have with the avos, again, why the avos are listed backwards, why is there no eskor by Yitzchak, questions not for now, but I'm going to remember two things, the bris that I have with the avos, and I'm also going to land Eretz Yisrael. But the Ramban sharply notes that it doesn't mention any fact about that I'm going to see Bnei Yisrael's tshuva and that they've completely repented for what they've done. But all they mention back to the Ramban is the bris avos and the schiras haaretz. So in the end of the line, source number 9, lo sheyimchol avonam v'yislach hatasam, it's not that their sins are going to be forgiven and, you know, all their sins are going to be, you know, completely washed away. V'yosef avasam kekedem, and they're going to be back to the original level of love that Hashem is going to have for them originally. V'lo sheyasof es nedcheyem, because guess what? By the end of the first Gullus, not everyone came back. Not everyone came back. The people who went to Gullus after, during Bayis Rishon, most of them did not come back, as the Ramban's about to note. And we're going to get back to this point also by the Barbanel. Kihaya came by Lotz Mibavel. When they came back from Bavel after the first Beis HaMikdash, you know, we celebrated Purim a couple months ago, and we're like, the Geula, and we're able to build the Beis HaMikdash, we get another Beis HaMikdash for over 400 years. But it wasn't all, you know, it wasn't all roses. It wasn't also such a great time. Shelo shavu rak Yehuda u'Binyamin v'alevim imam ma'at. We have Yehuda coming back, we have Binyamin coming back, and we have a little bit of Shevet Levi u'miksas hashvatim asher galu l'Bavel. And it's just a small fraction of the amount of people that went to Bavel. V'shavu bedalus, and they came back poor, downtrodden. Be'avdus malche paras. And they also still were under the authority of the kings of Persia. The gam lo amar sheyashuvu. So right now he's pointing out that we're not coming back at our own merits. We're not coming back under good circumstances at all, right? This week's parsha, all it describes is the bris avos, and that for the sake of the land. It's not for the people's sake. The people weren't tzaddikim; they didn't really do tshuva. Not even everyone's going to come back. And the Ramban continues that they don't really, even when they come back, they're not really doing tshuva. V'gam lo amar sheyashuvu b'tshuva shleima lefanav. That they're not really even doing tshuva. Rak sheyizvadu avonam va'avon avosam. They only are going to be doing a certain type of vidui. Umatsinu anshe bayasheni osim kim. We're going to have a lot of examples of leaders of Klal Yisrael doing vidui on the sake of the people during bayasheni. But the people themselves are not doing tshuva. And we're going to have Daniel. So Daniel is going to just do a vidui. Etc. Hariki kulam, second last line in the Ramban. Yeah, they learned that vidui is a good thing, but the Klal Yisrael, the Hamon Am, the people are not doing tshuva. So the Ramban saying this is exactly why in the beginning in Pasuk Mem, the Torah is going to describe v'hizvadu es avonam ves avon avosam. They're going to do vidui. The leaders are going to do vidui, but no one is doing tshuva. And that is describing the circumstances of the geula of Bayis Rishon. People are going to come back. It's not going to be everyone. The circumstances, they're really going to still be under the authority of Bayis Rishon. And they're not really doing tshuva. There's going to be a communal vidoy from their leaders. But the people are not changing their ways. V'chol eila dvarim brurim bebris hazos, shehu be'emes yirmos legolos harishon v'hagu ulum. All of this indicates that this parsha, Parshas Bechukosai, that the subject of Parshas Bechukosai is about the exile of Bayis Rishon and the destruction of the temple, and at the same time also about the Geula, that the Geula is going to be something which again is under trying circumstances, we don't deserve, we're not even really doing tshuva. And that is what the Tochacha is describing in Parshas Bechukosai according to the Ramban.
There's no difference between that and the exodus from Egypt and the second Beit HaMikdash. Exodus from Egypt, only a small percentage of the people left.
Right.
And it wasn't that they were doing tshuva, it was that they were leaving. We see that from Egal Azav and from their lack of faith at the Yom Suf. Second Beit HaMikdash, same thing. The people were exiled and, you know, some percentage came back. It wasn't that Sadiqim. It wasn't that they were doing tshuva, it was mostly fleeing for their lives, and there's still a credit given, you know, to the point where, you know, if we say that Shemitah wasn't completely fulfilled during the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, it is today, so it's even a level up, but it wasn't because the people did tshuva at the beginning.
Right, so we have to discuss two things. One is, I'll separate your question if that's okay, Mitzrayim,
yeah.
And we also have to describe when Geula Sheni happened.
Right.
So for Mitzrayim right now, again, people refer to it as a gullus, right. But is it really, the Ramban's not viewing it as like a gullus per se, because we never were in our homeland to get exiled.
Got it.
So we could describe, okay, that they did the Bris Milah, the Dam of the Karban Pesach, things like that, and how to understand the Chet Egel we've discussed in the past. But in terms of the second Geula, he's going to speak about, okay. and contrast it.
Cool.
Okay? Okay, so then he goes now to Parshas Kisavo, which is for him describing Bayis Sheni. So if you look at we're going to jump back again, source number 11, page 4, top of page 4. The Ramban has a sharp point. Aval habrish shebis mishne Torah yirmoz legaloseinu zeh v'legu'ula shenigal mimenu. It's referring to, the one in Kisavo is referring to the gullus that I am in right now, the Ramban's writing in his time, this gullus, and the geula that we're going to be redeemed. And again, that is the gullus that the Ramban is describing is the same gullus we're in now. Since Bayis Sheni, we have been in Galus. We're still in Galus. And therefore, we are still going, the Psukim in Kisavo are going to describe the exile that happened during the times of Rome, as he's about to emphasize. But the continuation and everything, the Geula, is still a description that hasn't happened yet. We haven't yet reached the Geula Shlema. Ki yistal notchila, shelo nirma sham keitz v'kesev, v'lo hevtiach begula. There's no promise of redemption. There's no set time, right? By the first Galus, there's a set time. We're going to come back. It's going to be at the end of the Shabsoseha when the Shemitah gets their years back. But that doesn't happen in the second Galus, right? It's Tarak Tala Osa Bechuva. So there's no time mentioned in the Tochacha and Kisavo because it's not dependent on amount of time. It's totally dependent, according to the Ramban over here, on tshuva. Again, it's a discussion in the Gemara. Do we have to do tshuva? Hashem is going to bring it anyway. Not for now. But either way, the Pesukim don't indicate a set time for the Geula, and therefore he's going to say that is referring to our Galus. There's also no promise of Geula, because there's no promise of Geula according to the Ramban. It is totally dependent. It's up to us. It's up to us to do tshuva. And then he continues. V'lo hiskir ba'averos ahem shiyasu asherim v'chamanim v'shiyadu v'rosklam klal. The Torah doesn't describe that they do avodah zarah. There's no description like there was in Bechukosai of Hashem destroying their places of worship, their avodah zarah, because that's not what they did. Avol Amar, it says in our parsha, and it's in the Pesukim right before. Vayim lo yivahiya im lo sishma b'kol Hashem alokecha lishmor lasos es kol matusav v'chukosav. Amar kimimnei sheyavru alksas mitzvosav shelo yishmu v'yasu es kulon yanshu. There were certain mitzvos that they didn't do. And that is why they got punished. So there's no reference to Avodah Zarah in Bayis Sheni, because that's not why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the Ramban points to Gemara and Yuma, if you look at source number 12. Gemara and Yuma and Daf Tesem HaBeis. Mikdash Rishon Mimnei Maicharav. Why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Mimnei Shlosha Dvarim Shahayubo. Avodah Zarah, Gil Alayas, Vashichlas Damim, etc. And it goes to show you those three. Aval Mikdash Sheni. Shayoskin Petora, Uva Mitzvos, Vigmilos Machasadim. The Jews were doing Torah, Mitzvos, Chesed, why Mibne Macharov? Why was it destroyed? Mibne Shahisa Bo Sinaschinam. Lamdecha Shashkula Sinaschinam Kineged Shalosh Averus. That Sinaschinam is equivalent to the big three. So it sounds like the Jews were doing mitzvos, they were doing Torah, they're doing Milos Chasadim. Why is the second base of Mikdash destroyed? Only because of sinas chinam. And it sounds like the Jews, according to the Ramban, at least in this description over here, were not doing avodah zarah. So the Torah says that they weren't doing some mitzvot in Kisavo, and that is clearly a reference to Bayis Sheni, because during Bayis Sheni, the reason why they were destroyed was not because of the avodah zarah. It wasn't because of shvichas dam of gilai raos. It was, like the Gemara in Yoma says, for sinas chinam. If you look back to the Ramban, again, we're four lines into the Ramban and towards the end of the line. Kamosha Amru Bayis Rishon, and he quotes the Gemara. And now, skipping to the second last line of that of source number 11. V'lo hiskir shem hamikdash, v'lo hiskir shem hamikdash reach nichoa kasher hiskir kan. In Kisavo, there is no reference to the Beis Hamikdash being destroyed. Only in Bechukosai. We're going to get back to that point in a couple minutes for the other opinions. It's a very important point. The Ramban's wondering, why is the Beis HaMikdash only being referenced, according to what I'm saying, that Bechukosai is the first Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, and Kisavo is the second Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. So why then is there no reference to the Mikdash in Kisavo? Only in Bechukosai. So the Ramban answers, Shelo Haisa Ha'ish Yoredes V'Hochelas HaKarbanos V'Bayashini. Because the special fire that came down did not consume the karbanos in Bayis Sheni, Kemoshe Hidu Besechus Yoma. But if you look at the Gemara in Yoma that the Ramban is quoting, if you look at source number 13, Uvesh Mikdash Sheni Mihavi, was that special fire, did it exist in Bayis Sheni? Va'amar Rav Shmuel Bar Inya, Mai Dechsiv Ve'eratso Bo V'Chaved, Ve'karina V'Kavda, Mai Shna Demechusar Hei. There were five things missing in Bayis Sheni that weren't there in Bayis Rishon. Elu Chamisha Dvarim Shahayu Bein Mikdash Rishon LeMikdash Sheni, Ve'eluhin. Aron V'Kaporis V'Kruvim. So again, the Aron was hidden, whether it was hidden or taken, that's a good question. V'Kaporis V'Kruvim. So all the parts of the Aron. Ace, the special fire, Vishchina, Hashem's presence wasn't there. Ruach HaKodesh also stopped. V'urim v'tumim. And the Urim v'tumim, and then the Gemara says that the Gemara fire came, but it wouldn't actually consume the fire, the karbanos. But either way, from the Ramban is telling you that the base, why is there no reference to Mikdash Sheni in Kisavo? Because, yeah, we had a second base on Mikdash, but it really wasn't so glorious like the first Beis HaMikdash, because in the second Beis HaMikdash there was no Aron, there was no fire, there was no Ruach HaKodesh, Hashem's Shechina wasn't really there, it wasn't the same. So it wasn't really the same type of calamity, the same type of loss, and that's why in Bechukosai, which is about the first Beis HaMikdash, we are going to reference the Mikdash, but in the second Beis HaMikdash in Kisavo, we are not going to reference the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Ramban brings many proofs that the people being described in the Pesukim over here are going to be the Romans. So if you look, we're just going to read through a couple of the Pesukim in source number 14. Yolich Hashem oscha ves malchacha asher tachem alecha el hagoy asher leyadata atav ve'avosecha. It's a nation you're not familiar with. V'yavata shem elokim achrim yitzvan. Right? The Jews knew the Babylonians for a long time. They knew the Babylonians are right there. The Jews have no idea where the Romans are. If I have a map right here, Eretz Yisrael is over here. Rome is all the way over there. It's a people that we don't even know. And in Chav Ches Mem Tes, source 15, Yisa Hashem Alecha Goy Me Rachok, Yixay Aris, a nation from far away. Kasher Yidah Nesher Goy Aser Lishma Lishono, you're not going to know its tongue. And we know famously that the Jews knew Babylonian. The Jews didn't know Roman, right? They didn't know how to speak the language that the Romans spoke. They're not familiar with their tongue at all. And source number 16, Vefitzcha Hashem Bechol Amim. Hashem's going to spread you out. When did Hashem spread them out in Golus? Mixei ha'aretz v'akseh ha'aretz. From one end of the land to the other land. Think about, there's Jews in Australia now, and there's Jews in the United States. You know, again, we're in Chicago, we're in the Midwest. But there's even more west. We go from the west to the east, there's Jews everywhere in the world. V'avata sham elokim achirim asher liyadata atav ve'osecha eitz v'evan. And then we're going to put, and then the Ramban keeps going and going. So let's just take a look for a second at source 21. The Ramban's going to put a lot of these points together. Va'amar beklalos Yisa Hashem Alecha Goy Me Rechok Mikseya Aris Kashi Yidha Nesher Shabo Alam Am Romi HaRechokim Memeod. Rome came from very far. Va'amar Shom El Goy Asher Lo Yadata Goy Asher Lo Sishma Lashono Mimnei Rechoka Me'artino. The Romans are very far away from us, and that's clearly what the Kisavo is describing. V'lo came b'divrei habris hazos. That's not true about the first Golos. Ki golu lebavel va'ashur. The Jews went to Bavel and Ashur. Shehin krovim la'aretz. They're very close to Eretz Yisrael. V'nochamim behem tamid. And they constantly were battling back and forth with the Jews. V'yichus Yisrael misham hayav yodim l'shonim. The Jews know their language. Ki inyin shenemar daber nal avdecha rames ki shomim anachnu. And then the in Kisavo the Torah keeps going. This is our gullus today, from one end to the land. The Ramban's describing right now, we are scattered from one end of the earth until the other. And similarly, when did the Jews get put in boats? This was in our Golos. Shemile Titus Mehem Sfinos. Famously, Titus made us travel in boats. So why? What boats were there in times of Bavel? Obviously, this is describing Bayashani. V'chein Kasev B'Sefer Haromim. You could look at the Roman Svarim. They also describe the boats that Titus Arasha put us in. And then the Ramban keeps going and describes and says, has a very sharp point. You're going to see with your eyes your children being taken away from you. Banim ubanos tolid, you're going to have children. But they're not going to be yours because they're going to be taken as captive. When did that happen? Very good point. Einenu hagalos shagalu avos ubanim, rak hashvi hahu levanim levadim, va'avos nisharim baris. It sounds like from the Ramban that the parents are going to stay in the land, but the children are going to be exiled. When did that happen? Lo nemar came to Bris Harishon. That can't be about Bavel. Mimnei shagalu galus lema. Because everyone went, including the parents, during the times of Galus Rishon, Bias Rishon. Everyone was going to get exiled, including the parents, not just the kids alone. Avol bibris hasheni hisker kain shahu aromim moslem baratzenu velochim habanos vabanos kirtzonam. That happens in Rome, that the Romans take famously our children. They were going to rule over us, and they took our children at will. And v'chein vavata esayivcha shalchenu Hashem b'cha b'ravu tzama, that we're going to have to work for them in hunger and thirst, in Kisavo. He avodosenu shavadnu haromim baratzenu. That's the work that the Romans made us do in their land, in our land. Visareim moslem baaretz, famously they had us appoint officers in our land. Umachbidim aleinu o kaved velochem gufenu mamenu kasher yadua b'tzar. And we know that the Romans were really hard to us. They took our money, they took our souls. The Romans were terrible to us. And all of this, the Ramban is showing that the Pesukim in Kisavo are going to be a reference to the Gullus of Rome. And just one more proof that the Ramban has, which is, gets a lot of press, is V'od Rayash Amar Hashem, Yolach Hashem Oscha Ve'es Malkacha, your king he's going to take there, Asher Tokim Alecha. It says Asher Tokim Alecha, that you're going to have over you. Not that's going to rule over you, but that you're going to have over you. Who's that describing? Ki halach Agrippus Hamelech by Yesheni Laromi. This king Agrippus, who was not really Jewish and should not have been king, as the Mishnah and Sota in source number 20 describes, that it came to Hakel. That it was it's a crazy story that they got to Hakel, and the king's supposed to be involved in Hakel, and he's reading these psukim from Devarim. Agrippus Hamelech Amad Vekibel Vekariomid. That you can't have a foreign king be a person be a king. You can't have a non-Jew be a king over you. What happened? Zolgu in of Dimos. Agrippa started to cry because he realized I can't really be the king of the Jews. Amrulo, Altis Yari Agrippa, don't be worried. Achinu ata, you're our brother. Don't worry about it. And this is described in the procedure of Hakel, is described in the Mishnayos in Sota. So we see Agrippus was a non-Jew who was ruling over the Jews during Bais Sheni, and he went to Rome, and the Ramban attributes a lot of the Gullus happening because of that trip of Agrippus. But either way, the Ramban has clearly, even more than the first paragraph, demonstrated that Kisavo is about the current exile of Rome. We have boats, we have a language we don't know, where they're going to come from far away. Who could that be describing if not the Romans? So, and then the Ramban continues in source number 24. Not only does it describe the Gullus Sheni, of Bias Sheni, but it's also going to describe the Geula. So if you look at in source number 24, V'ha-Geula Babris Hahi Hashenis Geula Shlema Me'ula Kulam. This second redemption is going to be greater than anything that had happened previously. This will be the ultimate redemption. And the Pasuk's going to say, and again, we have the Pasuk in source number 22, that it will be greater, and all of you, it'll be even more people are going to come than your fathers. So the Ramban says, Shehavtacha l'chol shiftei Yisrael. All of Yisrael is going to come back in this redemption. Lo l'shishas ha'am. We're not going to have a sixth of the people the way that it happened in Bais Rishon. Geula Shlema. All of the Jews are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. V'sham hechtiach sheikaris v'yichal ha-megalim osanu. Not only that, the people who exiles are going to get punished as described by the psukim, etc. Now skipping to the next paragraph. V'eila dvarim yavtichu b'geula ha-asida haftacha shlema yoser mikol chazyonos Daniel. These words that I have told you, that the first gullus is being described in Bechukosai, and the second Gullus and the Geula are going to be described in Kisavo. These proofs, and that it actually happened. This is what happened. So could there be any better proof and any better assurance that there's going to be a future Geula? The Torah is literally telling you everything from Jewish history for thousands of years after the book was written and describing it. And it also describes that there's going to be a Geula. There's going to be a redemption. So we have prophecies to chazyonos, these visions of Daniel that are going to be references to the Geula. But a greater proof is these psukim, the tochacha, the parts that everyone's like, I don't have to, it's, you know, a great time to space out from the Chazan. It's hard to hear anyway. No, that for the Ramban is a great source of proof. It's literally describing all of Jewish history and telling you there is going to be a Geula. V'chein masha amar b'kan v'shimu ala ha'ivechem. And this was a great point, that the Ramban tells you that it's going to be, the land's going to be desolate for your enemies. Haya besura tova mibseres mikol hagalios. She'ein artseinu mikabelas oyevenu. And again, the Ramban was writing this before Eretz Yisrael was built up in the way that it is now. That the land will be desolate for those, our enemies, who try and live there. V'gamzu raya gedola v'avtacha lanu. This is such a great proof and promise to us. Ki kol timatze b'chol ha'yisha v'aretz asher yitova v'rchava v'asher ha'yneso no'sheves me'olam v'hicharveh kamo. There's no land like it. That at its pinnacle is going to be so incredible and so developed and be so, you know, fruitful, but at its low is going to be so desolate. But that is the promise the Torah gives us. The land will be desolate for those, our enemies, when they try and go there. And he says, Kimi az yatsanu mimena lo kibla uma v'lashon. V'kula mishtalim lo shiva. V'in le'alayon. Everyone's tried to go to Eretz Yisrael. Everyone's tried to cultivate the land, but the land does not accept them. The land says, no, we don't want you. We are reserved for Eretz Yisrael. And again, the Ramban's talking almost a little less than 1,000 years ago. But look, Kavachomer now, in our time. Just look over the last, you know, since the 1948, and how developed the land has come in such a short time. And if you read the historical accounts from the hundreds of years before that, the land was nothing. The land was desolate. Everyone who tried to take it in the last couple thousand years had no success. And this is the promise that the Torah gives us. And what better proof that the Eretz Yisrael belongs to us? This is a prediction of the Torah, that the Torah is telling us that the land is going to be desolate unless we're there. And finally, the last paragraph of the Ramban, again, thanks for sticking with me for the Ramban. I know it's a lot. But the Ramban tells you, and this explains one more difference, which is that the Torah describes that Hashem made the bris for us in Bechukosai, in contrast to Kisavo, where it really sounds like the person who enters the covenant with us is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Moshe Rabbein. V'nei HaBris HaRishona Asher B'Parsha Azos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Karasosha. Hashem made the bris of Bechukosai. Ki Kein HaYishmo HaGadol Imanu B'Bayit HaRishon. Why did Hashem make this? This is a hint that Hashem, when we peaked in Jewish history, was not by Hashem. It was Bayis Rishon. That in Bayis Rishon, that was when Hashem was really with us. V'habris hashniyah sheparsha v'hayah kisavo mipi Moshe. Remez l'silach shchinasu l'gamri, that there wasn't really such a presence of Hashem. Shelo hayi b'bein Bayis Sheni, rak kivod shemo. Hashem was kind of there, but not really. Shnemar v'yiratzeh bo v'yikavda, v'tosavis hei remez l'shniyah shebashem ha'gadol, that Gemara we quoted earlier. So we spent a lot of time on the Ramban trying to indicate, again, Bechukosai is first Bayis Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, and the Gula. The second, and Kisavo is really going to be the second Bayis being destroyed, Gullus Rome, and the future Gula. And the two points that the Ramban ends with, which I don't know how it's not, you know, the most exciting thing in the world, that number one, these tochachos are greater proofs to us than any vision that any Navi ever got, that we're going to have a future redemption. And number two is that the land remains desolate except for us, as Jewish history has proven over the last couple thousand years. That is the Ramban, the famous Ramban on the Parsha of the Tochacha.
If the second Geula is supposed to be the most wondrous thing that ever happened,
mm-hmm.
Does the Ramban say why that shouldn't have been a bris that was made directly with the Kodesh Baruch
Hu? He says exactly why. Because he's telling you that it's a reference to the fact that Hashem's presence wasn't necessarily really around in this Bayis Sheni in the way that it was, and therefore it doesn't really demand the same bris. It's a hint that Hashem wasn't fully there in during Bayis Sheni. We're going to get back to that point by the Barbanel, who takes this point of the Ramban and doubles down on it and uses that to explain the Pesukim in a minute. So how is this Ramban accepted? So the Barbanel in source number 25 is really telling you all about the Ramban. If you look on page 7, the last line in the both, Kol hamefarshim shabo acharav machsikim b'dei hazeh ishlo nedar. Everyone, all the mefarshim are going to follow the Ramban and tell you that the psukim in Bechukosai about Galus Rishon, the psukim in Kisavo about Bayis Sheni. No one's going to hold back, except for obviously the Barbanel, who's going to go argue with the Ramban at length. But before we get to the Barbanel, there's an interesting shita of the Raven. So approach number one, Bichukosai, is about Bayis Rishon, and Kisavo is about Bayis Sheni. So there's a sefer called the Kli Chemda. So the Kli Chemda was written by Rav Meir Dan Plotsky. He lived from 1866 to 1928 in Poland. He wrote a sefer on the Torah called the Kli Chemda, obviously. He was one of the Talmidim of the Avnei Nezer. And he's also given credit. There was a forged Yerushalmi that was going around on Kachim, because the Rishonim had referenced Kachim in their writings, this Yerushalmi, and we didn't have a copy. And someone came out with a manuscript on Kachim. And people were going around and looking at, and the Rabbanim were giving their Haskamas. So there are different people who are given credit for exposing this forged Yerushalmi Kachim, including the Kli Chemda. But there's a story about the Ragachever, that the Ragachever looked through the Yerushalmi and he said, "It's forged." And everyone's like, how'd you know that? Like, so many Rabbanim have seen this Yerushalmi, and everyone's given it their stamp of approval. How do you decide? He said, because every single Masechta and Shas that I've been through has one Amora that is not quoted anywhere else. And this one doesn't. And like, the fact that the Rebbe Shavar realized that phenomenon, went through it, and then, hey, this guy, whoever forged this, didn't want to play it safe and didn't want to write an Amora that nowhere else quoted, and he's like, this is a forgery. But also included in that, in the people who get her credit for helping forge, expose this forged Yerushalmi, is the Kli Chemda. So the Kli Chemda has a suggestion for the Ravid, a famous Ravid, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. So the Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Rambam, again, this is, if we were talking about Karbanos Bizman Hazeh, can you go up to the Temple Mount, all these fun discussions, this Ravid are... Again, you could just give it an hour's of shiras just on the Rambam and the Ravid, which we will not be doing. But the Ravid has a shita, which is in source number 27, which tells you that according to Rav Yossi, three lines from the bottom in source number 27, that even according to Rav Yossi, the Amr Kedusha Shnia Kitcha Lasad Lavo, that when Ezra's, the Kedusha that Ezra instilled will be Kacha, will continue, Lo Amar Ela Lashar Eretz Yisrael. That is only true for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael keeps its Kedusha, the Kedusha that Ezra instilled. Avol Yerushalayim v'lamikdash lo. But Yerushalayim and the Mikdash lost its special status. Again, the Rambam argues. Lefisha hayodeya Ezra. Ezra knew. Shehamikdash v'yerushalayim asidim lishtanos. Uleskadish kidush acher olami b'chvod Hashem le'olam. That Ezra knew that what's going to happen, Yerushalayim is going to get a future Kedusha. That Hashem himself is going to be the one to build the third base on Mikdash and instill it with his Kedusha. And therefore he made a tenai that once the base on Mikdash is destroyed, no more Kedusha. Kach nigalim yisod Hashem l're'av. That's how I know it. This sod Hashem is revealed to me. Lefika hanichnas ata sham imbo kareis. Someone who goes on to the Makom HaMikdash does not get kareis. Again, not talking about the Temple Mount right now. We're not talking about Karbanos Bizman Hazeh. Each one could be its own chair. But the Ravid sounds like that Ezra knew when he instilled Kedusha to the Mikdash that Hashem was going to build the third base of Mikdash, and therefore he made sure that the Kedusha would not be one of permanence, and therefore it sounds like, according to the Ravid, you would be able, you know, to go up to Har Bayis right now without a problem. So the Kli Chemda in source number 26, for those wondering why did I put it in source 26 if the Ravid was in source 27, was to try and save paper. Ironically enough, you know, you could have 10 pages and still try and make decisions to try and save paper. It's important to be able to make fun of yourself for how long your makoros are. But the Ravid, the Kli Chemda basically says that if you notice for the Ravid, he thinks that the Ravid is the exact opposite of the Ramban. That namely, the Ravid thinks Bechukosai is going to be about the destruction, about Gula Sheni, and that Kisavo is going to be about Bayis Rishon. And that explains, we noted before, one of the Ramban's most important proofs is that the Mikdash is only referenced in Bechukosai and not in Kisavo. And the Kli Chemda explains, only by Charban Bayis Sheni will it save Hashimosi as Mikdash Echem. Because what happens when the first base of Mikdash is destroyed? We knew that it was going to be rebuilt by man. So it was going to be the same type of Mikdash, and it's not like a complete destruction, so to speak. Because we knew it was going to be, it was built by man, then destroyed. But we know that it's going to be of the same type and belong to us. It's going to be a man-made Mikdash, and that, therefore, the Psukim that describe in Kisavo, the again, for his assumption, the first galus are not going to make a reference to the Mikdash. In contrast, the Pesukim B'chukosai, which describe the second Beis HaMikdash, are going to make a reference to the destruction of the Mikdash. Why? Because that is the end of man-made Mikdash. The way that the Ravid describes. That the Ravid
argues with the Rambam.
He argues with the Rambam, yes. So he argues with the Rambam, exactly. That's what the Ravid, that's the I put the Rambam first. And therefore, because of that, Vashimosius Mikdashechem, your Mikdashes, the Mikdashes that you build, will lay desolate. Because the next one is going to be a Mikdash from Hashem. But what comes out and emerges for the Klichem, the Bedas HaRavid, is basically that he's arguing the exact opposite of the Ramban. That the Pesukim in Kisavo are about Bayis Rishon, and the Pesukim in Hukosai are about Bayis Sheni, and the reference to the Beis HaMikdash it's only going to be by Bayis Sheni and not by Bayis Rishon, because that was the last made of the man-made Mikdash. Now I want to focus with the rest of our time on the Barbanel. The Barbanel is, again, I started with a note and just honesty that I did not read all of the Barbanel on the Tochacha. The Barbanel, again, famously starts sections in Tanakh with over 20 questions on a section, and his answers could sometimes be even more lengthy than his questions. So it's difficult to go through everything, but I did try my best to read the highlights of in what he's, you know, analyzing the Shita of the Ramban. And he's basically had said before that everyone agrees to the Ramban, all the Mefarshim, and he starts off in source number 28, which is his main discussion, which is in Kisavo. V'gam mechachma ha'umos ra'isi misha kasav kain. I even seen that there are non-Jewish people, there's even the chachma ha'umos, even the, you know, the wise people of the other nations agree to the Ramban. And they're going to tell you that the first Pechukosa is about the first Beis HaMikdash, and Kisavo is about the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Barbanel says it can't be true. And I just want to make a ha'ara, is that the Barbanel is going to have many textual proofs, none of them which we're going to be talking about right now. Many textual proofs. But that is not what he begins his argument with the Ramban. He doesn't say, I have this pasuk, and this pasuk, and this pasuk. And my point is, it's not because he doesn't have them. He has them. He will go through them later. But he argues on a fundamental ground, which the Ramban was already alluding to a bit, but the Barbanel takes to an extreme. And the Barbanel's thesis is as follows. It's not true. Everything you knew about Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, there's two galuses. Not true. There's one galus. One galus called galus that we're in right now, and that started in Bavel. Galus Bavel was the beginning of galus. Oh, we had a base of Mikdash, we had everything he's going about to describe that. But he's fundamentally saying, the Ramban's assuming there's two galuses and two geulas, but I'm telling you right now that there was one galus and there's going to be one geula. So how could you divide the Pesukim in the Torah like that? The Ramban is assuming there's two galuses and one part of the Torah is going to describe one and the other one's going to be describe another. The Barbanel says, "Hu etzli bilti amiti lefi she'ein roi shenachshav sheYisrael shnei galios." There's not two galus. There's not a galus Bavel and a galus Rome. There's just galus. We've been in galus since the first Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And you're looking at me right now like, what does it mean? They had a Beis HaMikdash. They offered karbanos. What does it mean that they're going to be in Gaul?
Hashem wasn't there.
Hashem wasn't there. The Ramban already alluded to it.
Already showed up.
Right. Exactly. So he's going to disagree for a bunch of reasons. So
in theory, that what he's saying is Gaul is self-inflicted. Us refusing to just...
So he's going to describe what happened. Exactly. So there's two pieces. Again, we could read the whole thing inside. I would love to, but... it's long. So what we're going to do... He also has one more question, which the Ramban... we noted, I think some people were a little bit bothered by before. Why is it that Hashem is making a bris for one galus? But if there's two galuses, so then Hashem should make a second bris. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu the one making the bris? Moshe is going to make a bris that Hashem didn't make? Makes absolutely no sense. So he's convinced there are not two separate exiles. There's not two exiles. There's one exile. Number one, how many people came back? Only 40,000 people came back from the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin. The people that were, he also assumes that the people during the first galus were not just in Bavel. He assumes in Ammon, in Moab, Mitzrayim, Yavon, Sarfat, Svarad, all over Germany, Spain, Egypt, Greece. It wasn't just Bavel. And none of them came back. They didn't even make Aliyah. And the ones that came back, the Barbanel cells, they weren't even the good guys. Those weren't the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim stayed. It was the inferior people. Also, that's number one. Most of the people didn't come back. Only 40,000 men came back. You know what 40,000 men is? It's less than, you know, There are more people in West Rogers Park. Not actually, but...
Close call.
But number two, the people that came to Yerushalayim, they didn't have their own rulers. They were under the authority of first Paras, then Madai, then Greece, and then Rome. They weren't ruling themselves. They were constantly under... Okay, so Koresh said we could come back and build a base of Mikdash. But they were under Koresh's rule. Yes, he says they would rebel at times, and they even had kings of the Chashmonaim. But who were the Chashmonaim? What Sheva did they come from?
Levi.
They came from Sheva Levi. What did Hashem promise David? Who was promised the kingship? It was David, not Sheva Levi. So why are there non-Yehuda kings ruling? Elamai, these weren't really considered kings. They were under the authority of someone else. And he literally says the halach, if you do Baba Basra, kol de olam gavar, which literally means let the strongest man win. That's what the kingship was. It wasn't, oh, we are going to have a real kingship and pass it on to the Davidic dynasty. Rather, it was kol de olam gavar. And then he says, exactly what you guys were saying before, that in Bayis Sheni, there was no Aron like we saw, there's no Kruvim, there's no Shechina, there's no Ruach HaKodesh, there's no Nevuah. So how is that Geula? We don't have Hashem's presence. We might be in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash, but there's no Aron, there's no Shechina, there's no Ruach HaKodesh, there's no Nevuah. How is that Geula? That is not Geula. So then the obvious question is why then is there a Beis HaMikdash? If this is not a redemption, if Bayis Sheni was not a redemption, so how is there a Beis HaMikdash? So in this piece in Dvarim, he describes that Hashem had mercy on Klal Yisrael. And he returned them to Yerushalayim. He inspired the king Koresh to give them permission, build the Beis HaMikdash, serve Hashem, but stay under his rule. He helped them out that Koresh was going to allow them, to move afar, but stay under his rule, but can be able to worship Hashem. And he gives an example. He says, in my time, it's like if the king of Yishmal, who is worshiping, who lives in Yerushalayim, he's ruling in Yerushalayim, he gave the Jews permission to come from one edge of the kingdom, come to build the Beis HaMikdash, unconditioned they're still under his authority. They're obviously going to rebel against him and do what they want, and that's what happened. It wasn't that there was this, Geula. Rather, what happened is Hashem just put it in Koresh's mind. We're going to get to why in a minute in the next piece. Hashem put it in Koresh's mind to allow the Jews to come back. But that's not called Geula. That's not called redemption. It's just called that, they came back and they were indentured servants almost. They were just like working for Koresh from afar, and Koresh was nice enough to do it. He says, we are still in Golus Rishon. And just because the Jews gathered in Yerushalayim, lots of people gathered, they gathered in Beitar, he says. They gathered in Alexandria. We gather in our shuls. Does that mean we're not in Golus? Obviously, we're still in Gullus. It's like building shuls in Gullus. The youngest old Woodmere has over 2,000 families. What, now they're not in Gullus? Obviously, they're still in Gullus. They're obviously still in Gullus. And guess what? Herod built the Beis HaMikdash and made it so beautiful. But Herod answered to the Romans. He was never not under the authority of the Romans. So we could have a nice, nice building, a beautiful building, but that doesn't prove we're not in Gullus. And he says that really proves that we've been in Gullus from when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash until this very day. And then he says, therefore, the psukim in Bechukosai are really primarily the Ramban's right about Bayis Rishon. Because that's the start of Golos. But there are references also to Chorban Bayis Sheni. And also not just Chorban Bayis Sheni. He thinks there's references to the Golos that we are in. Like all the last 1,000 years, according to Barbanel, are also referenced in Bechukosai. It's not just limited to Bayis Rishon, because for him, they are all one Golos. V'hashimosi es mikdasheichem, I'm going to destroy your temples, is a reference to Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, and all of the houses of worship that have been destroyed over thousands of years. It's not just a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, it's a reference to the Mikdash Me'at, the Beis Knesset that have been destroyed in Germany in the last 100 years. He didn't write that, I'm telling you. But he's telling you, over all the Crusades, everything, all those are being referenced by these psukim because they're all one. We have references to Beitar. Again, he goes on and on through Gullus. He says even the expulsion of Spain, he was kicked out in 1492, he had a relationship with the king and queen, and he tried to convince them to not exile the Jews, and they said, we're going to do it anyway, and they offered the Barbanel to stay. Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't want to stay, I'm going with them. And he says, this exile of Spain, it's also referenced in the Bechukosai. And Rather, even though they remembered after 70 years, that was not a geula, that was just a temporary reprieve. And he says that's why we're going to mention it again in Bechukosai. Because what did Moshe do in Sefer Dvarim? He explains things that come earlier. And there are a lot of obscure references to Bayashini. And Moshe is going to you know, tease them out, so to speak. So really, both Bechukosai and Kisavo are going to be references to both Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, because according to the Barbanel, there is really only one Gullus, only one Geula. And then he goes on to bring at least five proofs that Kisavo also references Bayis Sheni. And then finally, in the piece of Bechukosai, with this we'll end. Again, we're not going to do everything and all of his points, but I just want to end with one really with one point, which is, why did Hashem do this way? Why did Hashem have part of the Jews come back and not the rest of them? What was the point of that? And this is the point that I want to close with and make a point to our current day right now, which is that Hashem said it doesn't make any sense, Barbanel's bothered, that the Jews did Gila Raya, Shvichas Daman, and so many other Averos, and Shemitah. So they get 70 years for the Shemitah, and they don't get punished for the killing, for the adultery, for the Avodah Zarah. Where did it happen to all the years? 7 years for Shemitah, okay. But when did they get punished? So the Barbanel suggests that really what happened is as follows. That after Bavel, they came back. And they were given a chance. They got a Beis HaMikdash. They got Tefillah. And if these people who came back were going to succeed, so we are going to then be able to have a full gathering. And that could have been the ultimate Geula. But you know what happened? The people that came back failed. They continued in the ways of their forefathers. According to Barbanel, even during Bayis Sheni, they were doing Avodah Zarah, Gila Raya, and Shvichas Daman. And the punishments that have happened since then are all repercussions of the original sins that did not. If the Jews would have done tshuva for the Gila Raya, Shvichas Daman, and Avodah Zarah, they would have, and the people who came back would have, you know, been able to do tshuva. All the other Jews would have come as well, and we would not be in the long gullus. But from the fact they didn't, that is the punishment that we get today. And I think that's really relevant for what we're talking about in the state that we're in right now. You know, 1948, we came back, and a lot of Jews, Baruch Hashem, have gone back, and everyone has to make their decision, what's right, what's right, you know, family, parnasa, and there's what's best for your children, your relationships, and it's a very hard decision for the people that are here, and Baruch Hashem, people have made the decision, and that's great. I mean, there's also a focus, and even during Bayis Sheni, there was a focus on all the Jews who didn't come back. It's their fault. You'll hear that rhetoric often, that, you know, all the Jews that didn't come during Ezra, everyone's heard this, Mr. Shmuz, so too, you Jews in Gullus have to come back. And obviously there's what to think about, and we have to take that at heart. But at the same time, it also, again, as an outsider, which is hard to make any point like that, at the same time, during Bayis Sheni, it was a test. What's going to happen? If they do their job, we are going to have a Geula. And it could be that something to think about now. And again, I'm not trying to give mussar to the Israelis or anything like that. But it's what to consider. Everyone's focusing on Bava, come back, and there's a lot of attention focused on the people in Gullus, and as there should be. But it's also important for everyone to look at themselves and say, are we doing what we can to bring the Geula? Are we acting the best person? Am I being the best sibling that I can, the best parent that I can, the best child that I can be? Serving Hashem the way that I'm supposed to, and, you know, and being able to merit the Geula b'mehira b'shlema b'karav b'yameinu, amen.